I'm a firm believer that our everyday lives are just infused with deep meaning. In fact, I think part of discovering the kingdom of God is discovering how much meaning our lives carry. Got a few extra copies if you're interested. You come, you let me know. But this morning, we're not taking the chapters in order either. This morning's chapter 11, because it's a beautiful weekend to talk about a chapter entitled, Cook Something, Build Something. It's a communion Sunday. It's a day we celebrate this table that sits in the middle of our sanctuary every single week. It's not quite just an altar. Altars tend to be a little more ornate, a little fancier, a little more adorned, a little more untouchable, a little more unapproachable. We have a communion table we keep in our midst. A place to receive, to share, and to serve. And the bread, it sits there. I have very, very vivid memories of my grandmother's kitchens. I'm lucky enough to have one of them here this morning. Usually when I was small, there would be a chair turned backwards, and I would get to stand on the chair so I could reach the counter. And I would get to help with whatever we were making. Sometimes it was dinner. Sometimes it was a special holiday thing, like maybe lefse, good Norwegian family and all. Maybe sometimes it was the Swedish sausage that we would hand stuff and create together. But on the really good days, it was cookies. Oh, all sorts of different kinds of cookies. And you know, eating a cookie is great. But getting to make a cookie with someone you care about, that's why I remember it. I can't tell you about the many times I've eaten cookies. They're sort of forgettable moments. But being handed the measuring cup and getting to add something in, being trusted with the spoon was the first step. The day you got trusted with the hand mixer was a very big moment. And then it got taken away, and eventually you got to use it again once the ceiling was cleaned off. But we would make things together. There's something beautiful about making food. It's an interesting thing. One of my favorite meals is macaroni and cheese. Okay, wait. My wife says I'm not allowed to call it a meal. One of my favorite things to eat is macaroni and cheese. And you can make mac and cheese in like 8 minutes. But sometime in the mid-90s, some marketing genius thought, you know what, 8 minutes? Way too long. Let's have Easy Mac, shall we? Something you can just throw in the microwave and 2 minutes later, it's ready. Now, yes, I understand, as a child not trusted with the oven yet or the stove, maybe the Easy Mac was a helpful option. But for me, it was just indicative of a mentality we have in our culture of, you know what? Let's just get that done. Let's just get that done, because 8 minutes, way too long for preparing a meal. No, no, no. Let's make it in two and eat it out of a plastic cup. There's something beautiful about making food. It's the relationships that are a part of it. It's the time that's spent together. It's also the act of creating. Whether you're one of those gifted people who can look at your fridge and go, ooh, I've got these six things, let's make a meal. I've never understood those people. Or you're one of those folks that says, okay, step one, and starts there. You're bringing something that wasn't there before into existence. As people of faith, I think that's a beautiful and important thing for us in all the ways we can build and create, not just in a kitchen. Especially on this Labor Day weekend, I think it's important to note that there are those who bring forth things with the work that they do as an act of creation. Creating something helps us appreciate, respect, and recognize our place in God's creation in a deeper way. To become creators of something ourselves and then having the opportunity to offer and share it in just a small glimmer and small moment gives us a chance to recognize that God has done the same thing with this world, with our lives, and with so many opportunities. And much like that kid with the chair, God looks at us now and says, come here, I want you to be a part of this. Because if it was just handed to us, it wouldn't be the same. But when we're invited into that process of creating, it means so much more. There's something beautiful about baking and cooking something. There's also something nice about the serving. Serving a meal is also a beautiful and important thing. It's a time of offering to others, of getting to be a part of saying, let me care for you. I worked at a church camp for several years after high school. And the lady who ran the kitchen, her name was Mama C. Okay, sorry, her nickname was Mama C. And we would sit there and the kids would come in, and some weeks when there weren't enough campers, the extra counselor would get assigned random tasks, and one of those was help in the kitchen. And I loved those weeks. We'd make biscuits and gravy, we'd make pancakes, we'd make all the fun camp foods. And she had this wonderful attitude about it. She'd look at me and she goes, you know, I know that you guys are doing some amazing work, helping these children know they're loved, helping these children recognize they get to make a difference in the world. She understood what it meant to care for and nurture a small life, fulfilling those baptismal vows to care and surround. And then she'd smile and she'd say, but you know what? If I didn't do this, you wouldn't get to any of it. She knew that in serving us those beautiful meals, she was preparing us to go out and do the other things that we were going to do. The act of serving others enables them, and you become a part of all that's done afterwards. There's something beautiful about that. It's also a place of honoring. One of the scriptures I love when we talk about bread or baking or cooking or serving comes from Genesis. It's in the 18th chapter. And it's when the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks. As he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day, Abraham looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent to meet them. He bowed down to the ground and he said, my Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass me by. Let a little water be brought. Let us wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you might refresh yourselves. And after that, then you may go about your way. So they said, do this as you have said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, let us make quickly three measures of flour, kneading it, making cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, and he gave it to a servant who prepared it. Then he took milk and set before them a feast of food. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate it. One of the biggest honors for people of Abraham's time was to welcome someone to your table. The act of inviting someone to a home to share a meal is one of the most important and beautiful things we can do. It doesn't have to be a fancy meal. It doesn't have to be a complicated meal. It doesn't even have to be the fatted calf. But looking at someone to say, I care enough about you that I want to put some time into a meal and share it with you. Or maybe even better, could we cook it together? Is a very sacred and beautiful thing. And just as Abraham met God in that moment, I believe that we too meet God when we break bread with each other. I mean, there's a reason Jesus chose this whole bread and juice thing as the enduring symbol of his life and his love. It wasn't because it had never been done before. The Jewish people have been using bread and wine a long time. In fact, that's why it was on the table in the first place. And there wasn't anything super special about it. It was bread. It was on the table. And he took it and he broke it and he said, you know what? We should share this together because nothing will bring us closer than sharing it. There's a wonderful theologian who notes that Jesus, as a troublemaker, never actually got in huge trouble for the things that he did. The thing that drove people crazy was the company he kept. There's a wonderful verse in Matthew where the people are freaking out about Jesus and all of his crazy ideas, and their biggest complaint, look at the people he eats with. Take a look around, because we're that crew. That's what we share at this table. Look at the people Jesus eats with. This is us. This is the table. But it's also our tables at home. Now, Dr. Mayer, in his writing here, reflects a bit on what it means to share a meal. Now, he often talks about the family dinner in his writing. I think this is something that needs to be spent out, because I know there are those of you that may live single, you may be empty nesters, you may keep busy schedules. I understand, and so I invite us to also think about what it means to create family, to invite a friend over when we have the opportunity, even coffee hour here at church. There are folks in this congregation that have been sharing a meal together every single week, even when it's just coffee and a light snack, for 40 or 50 years, who've been preparing at home and bringing to offer. That's a beautiful table to share. But as we do this, there are some amazing statistics. Did you know the frequency of family dinners has dropped 33% in the last 20 years? In the 1950s, the average dinner was 90 minutes long. The current average is 12 minutes. Now, if you take family dinners, because, you know, you figure somebody's just eating on their own, quick stopping by drive-through, that really drops our averages. But the average family dinner, yeah, 25 minutes. We've gone from 90 minutes to 25 minutes, a third less often when it comes to being together and sharing a meal. When we sit at a table, we're together. He also has this lovely line about TV trays, how sure you technically might still be eating, but you're not even facing each other anymore. Our tables bring us together, and conversation happens. Space happens. It's one of the greatest things we can do is to share a meal and be intentional about it. He puts it this way in one of my favorite parts. For most of human history, people have scattered during the day to make a living, but then huddled around a table to have a life. Through joy and sorrow, they sat together, sometimes silently, sometimes with animated voices and boisterous laughter. But the making of a meal and the ritual of the table was the glue that stuck them together. Anyone who wishes simply to live their life and to make sacramental moments out of ordinary time cannot possibly ignore the function of the table in a home as both an anchor and a conduit. This, then, is one of the prescriptions for a life that's grounded in earth but open to the possibility of heaven. I love that sentence. When we talk about the sacred of the everyday, living a life that's grounded in the earth but open to the possibility of heaven, here's what you do. You put a heavy table in the center of your home. You throw away the folding chairs. And you stop thinking that you can eat out and still build a life within. You share a meal in your home, and you invite others to do so with you. We're lucky enough to eat. It's a blessing. It's a time of recognizing all we've been given, and it's a time to share, just as we will this day.